Oh, the word's good, isn't it? Amen. Let's go ahead and let's pray before we get into it. Jump right in tonight. Father, we love you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We honor you. We thank you so much for all that you have done for us. Lord, this is a precious time, the gathering around your word. Where would we be without the word of God? We wouldn't know what to do, Father. We wouldn't know what was provided for us. We wouldn't know how to access all that you have provided through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of your Son. So, Father, we thank you so much. We glorify you tonight. We magnify you. Bless these wonderful, faithful, precious people that would come out on such a beautiful night when there's so many things that could be done in the natural, but here they are. So, Father, speak to them. Give them something that will change their life for the better. And we'll give you the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can open to Ephesians chapter 2 while you're turning there. And we'll go to verse 8, Jake, if you want to put that up. You know, faith can be a repetitive act. A lot of things we do spiritually can be a repetitive act. And that's not what we're talking about tonight, but on the heels of what we mentioned in the offering and with worship. You know, every day, I try to every day, you know, release my faith for the things I'm believing for myself, my family, the church, the plan of God. And a lot of those things are just releasing your faith, saying the same things. But I never want the Father to get the impression that I'm doing it, well, just because you'll have what you say, so therefore just say something and get it over with. So there's often times before when I'm walking my dogs, when I'll confess things and believe God and thank Him for things, that before I do it, I'll remind myself, but also remind the Father that what I'm doing is in His Word. You know, He said to put Him in remembrance. And Isaiah 43 says, put me in remembrance. So I do. I put Him in remembrance and I say, Father, now I'm coming to you, not because just to get this over with and just to say things, just to get my conscience to be eased or to check off some obligation with you spiritually. But Father, you said in your word that I'll have what I say. So I'm going to make sure I'm saying some things, Father. And you said in your word to continue in prayer with thanksgiving. So I'm going to do that this morning. And I'm going to stir myself up. And I thank you for the force of faith. Just to also remind myself that, hey, this isn't a mundane thing. It's an important thing. And every time I release my faith, those things that I'm releasing my faith for are coming closer and closer and closer. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming out tonight. It's a beautiful night out there. You guys are so faithful. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You know, when it comes to faith, which is the thing that drives us, right? That is the force that's behind everything, right? That's how we receive, please God, and overcome and things like that. It's important to understand how faith works, the workings of faith, the different parts of faith, the different angles you can approach faith and things like that, you know. And it's kind of, I think about like a mechanic, and I really know nothing about vehicles. Very minor can I do anything, you know. I can fill up my windshield wiper fluid, I can put gas in there, I could put air in the tires, probably, if it came down to it. I've never had to do it in an emergency. I'm pretty sure I could change a tire, but as far as anything real serious, I wouldn't know, you know. And if I got in my vehicle and my truck, you turn the key here, you push the button or whatever, and it didn't start, or if lights came on, I'd really kind of be at a loss of, well, and something starts going wrong with the vehicle, there's really not a whole lot I could do about it. I'd kind of be at a loss. Why? Because I don't know how certain things work. You know, whereas a mechanic could maybe take a vehicle for a drive and hear something, or feel something, or maybe smell something, or see a certain light, or do something with the vehicle. And because they know how it works, it gives them a place to start, right? It gives them an avenue. And it's the same with faith. So they have, obviously a mechanic has an advantage over me when it comes to a vehicle and getting it right. Well, it's the same way with faith. That's our vehicle that takes us to places. We better know how it works, and we better know the ins and the outs of faith, because when life can get tough and maybe it seems like we're on the side of the road broke down, faith's going to keep us going. And it's your faith that's going to keep you going. And so I wish there was thank God for mechanics, because when ignorant people like me, I just call them, right? Well, the spiritual mechanic of your faith is you. I mean, God will help you, you know, gives you the manual to fix it, but you have to fix it. You have to do what you do. And so it's important to see how faith works. And we see here, the Bible says, for by grace Are you saved through faith? Now, yes, this might be talking about salvation, but the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. That word in Romans 10 there, saved, is the word sozo. We've talked about that word before. That's an all-encompassing salvation. Salvation of your mind, salvation of your body, salvation of your finances, salvation of your family, all sorts of different things, protection and favor, depression, fear, anxiety, all those things that Jesus purchased for us was covered by the cross, right? All those things that we need in life was purchased through what Jesus did for us. It's an all-encompassing salvation. So when it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, it's not just only talking about your spiritual salvation. It's talking that for by grace are you saved in your finances. By grace are you saved in your body. By grace are you saved in whatever you need on this earth, but it comes through faith. And so it's important to see that. But notice the Bible says here that it's by grace that we are saved. Spiritually, it's by the grace of God, which is God's ability, God's power, God's love, God's mercy. Well, it's the same thing. When it comes to healing, it's by His grace that we can walk in divine healing. It's by His grace that we can walk in prosperity. It's by His grace that we can claim protection and wisdom and freedom from oppression and things like that. It's His grace, right? Without His grace, we can't really enter into anything. So we're thankful for His grace. But also there's a reality too that it says, by grace are you saved, which is all Him, but it comes through faith. And doesn't 1 John 5 and verse 4 say, this is the victory that overcomes the world? And I love what it says, even our, makes it personal. Your faith, God needs to flow His grace through. Not somebody else's faith, but your faith is going to cause you to overcome. Wouldn't it be nice if you could overcome on your pastor's faith? Oh, if I could overcome on my pastor's faith, that'd be a lot easier. I'll just jump on his because I know he's got a lot, right? Or if we could overcome on Brother Hagin's faith or Pastor Nancy's faith. No, it's our faith. That's why I like the mechanic. We got to know how this thing works. And so we see by grace are you saved for whatever you need, but it's always going to come through faith. Now, one way we've looked at it before to bring this out, and again, we're talking about how faith works tonight and getting an understanding of that, we've talked about the pipeline, right, with the oil and gas, that you lay a pipeline and you're trying to get the oil and gas out of the ground, and the way you do that is by laying a pipeline. We want the oil and gas, but the pipeline is necessary, correct? Well, another way we can look at it is, I know for my children, they still do, very rarely do they drink out of anything that doesn't have a straw, a lid with a straw, for obvious reasons, right? Spilling, and it's very, and when we do, we were at lunch Sunday, and they had a cup without a straw, and man, I'm on high alert. Or they had a cup with a straw with no top, I'm on high alert, watching, oh boy, what's going to happen? Because you just never know, right? And so we give them a lid with a straw. Well, if you think of faith this way, the children are on the receiving end of what's in that cup that blesses them, right? It refreshes them. It tastes good, right? So you could say they're the receivers. What's in the cup is the grace or the blessing, right? The water, the juice, whatever's in that cup. But then to get the water, the juice from where it's at, which was placed there by let's say mom and dad, which represent God in their life, right? Places the blessing there. But then to get that blessing to the receiver, it's in there, right? But there's, when a cup with a lid on it, there needs to be a straw there. What I'm saying is, I can't suck that out for them to be a blessing to them. You understand what I mean? For them to receive it, to receive what's in that glass, they got to use the straw themselves. I can put the drink in there. I can put the juice in there. I can put the water in there to refresh them. They can have the ability and I can set it up for them. But without that straw and then without them doing something with that straw, it just stays in there. And so that kind of helps us a little bit. The straw represents the faith. The contents represent what God gives. But God spiritually has given us a whole lot through Jesus. The Bible says He's already done it. What that means is we're not looking to try to get our healing. It's already provided. We just need to receive it. We're not trying to get rich or prosperous, I guess is that the right word to say. But we're trying to receive it. We need to receive it because it's already been provided for us. It's like if I give Caleb or Abby, well, you know, and you saw this early on when they were learning to use a cup with a straw, right? First, Abby, just tip it up, right? Maybe some would drip out. That's not how you do it. You don't even need to tip it with a straw, sweetie. Just grab onto it and suck that water, that juice right up, right? But she could sit there and look at it and, you know, I'm so thirsty. Well, why don't you do something? Why don't you flow that blessing through that straw? Well, it's the same way. Well, I need healing. I need money. I need grace. I need forgiveness. I need peace. Well, why don't you just suck that right up to your life? It's available for you, right? For by grace has He already provided it, but by your faith is how it's going to come to you. And so it's important also, I like to point this out, that the straw isn't the important part of the drink, in the sense that they don't lock their lips on the straw and be like, ooh, this straw tastes wonderful. Unless you were like me when you were a kid and you clip the top off a Twizzler and the bottom off a Twizzler and you use a Twizzler. Now, that kind of tasted good, but normally most straws are just taste like plastic, right? It's not the straw. It's what the straw is going to cause to bring to you. That's the most important thing. So we don't necessarily exalt or magnify our faith, because the faith is just a necessary tool to get what God's provided out to us. But even so, if you ever get tempted, Jake, if you go to Romans 12:3, this will help you, and this will help people that will say, oh, that faith gospel is a me gospel. That's a magnify the believer gospel. No, it's not. Because even with the straw, I gave the child the straw to be able to suck it out, right? God gave us faith. For I say, though, the grace given unto me to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself, but to think soberly as according God. Everybody say God. God has dealt, right? When you're at a, well, hopefully you're not there anymore. I used to be at a blackjack table, and guess who the dealer was? The people sitting around the table weren't the dealer, but the dealer was the dealer, right? God, or he dealt the cards, right? That's the only way you're going to get cards in a game of blackjack, is if the dealer gives them out to you. Well, it's the same way. The only way you're going to get faith is if God first deals it out to you. So even though we might claim, oh, I'm a faith giant, well, then you better give your praise to God, because without God, you have no faith. Because He gave it to us, right? So even in the faith, we magnify and exalt God, because without Him, there is none. Oh, this straw is so wonderful. Well, yeah, be thankful Mom and Dad put it in the cup for you. Hallelujah, right? Yeah, praise God. And so it's important to see that. So what I want to say as we go forward tonight, what we need in life, what we desire in life, comes from Him. Comes from Him, but is accessed through our faith, right? Hallelujah. Go with me to Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Ephesians 5 and verse 17. You know, I don't know everybody's comfort level when it comes to temperature. I like to mention this. I'm under these hot lights, so I don't know what you're experiencing out there, but just know in the summer we will have the AC going, so if you do tend to be a little colder, bring a little sweater or a little coat or something, because if we don't keep it cool in here, it can get hot awfully fast. And so just kind of prepare for cold for hot with this church. You just never know. At least you don't go to Olean. That building, you never know. Sometimes you are roasting in that building, and sometimes you're freezing, but this is a little more controlled, but just prepare for that. But Ephesians 5 and verse 17 says this, wherefore, be not unwise. Well, I'd like to know how not to be unwise. I certainly don't want to be unwise. But instead of being unwise, be wise, which would be what? But understand, or knowing, or getting a grasp, or realizing what? What the will of the Lord is. Understanding, he says it's wisdom for you to know what God's will is. And when it comes to faith that we're going to see tonight, it's everything when it comes to faith, understanding what God's will is. I was walking the dogs this morning, and this example came to me. I don't know about you, and this year there's a whole lot of craziness surrounding the Olympics, being in Brazil and that virus and the water and the different air control pollution out there and things like that, but I enjoy watching the summer and the winter Olympics. I don't know if anybody else likes that. I just think it's kind of a neat time, or a couple weeks to do that. But one of the events I really enjoy watching is diving. Especially what they have now, they call the high dive, where they go off a platform. It's the highest dive there is. And they get their toes right out on the edge, and they'll stand backwards, and just a little bit of their toes are there, and they're all calm, and then they breathe, and then they jump, and they do flips and twists and spins, and then they hit the water with such grace that hardly any splash comes up, right? And it's amazing. I love watching that. I'm like, wow. I'd love to cannonball off of that thing. And I'd get a score of zero, but it would be so fun. And I'd probably get up there and chicken out, would be the truth. But anyways, I enjoy watching that. But notice with the high dive, to get the goal is to get a 10, right? That means to get a perfect score from the time they walk out onto there to the time they get set to when they push off and jump, everything has to go perfect, right? And it all starts with what? Their release off the platform, right? If they have a difficult or wrong way that they come off the platform, it's going to mess their whole routine up going down.
Right.
And so it's important to understand when it comes to that, that that platform is a firm, solid, I don't know exactly what it's made of, maybe concrete or whatever, but it's firm, solid, and it's grippy on your feet. Your feet can grip it in a way. It's not spongy. It's not slick. It's not soft. It's not wobbly. It is a firm, solid platform, which enables them, again, if you'll watch closely, especially when they stand backwards, half of their foot is off this platform. But that wouldn't be possible if the thing was going like this, or if it was slippery, or if it was squishy. But because it's a solid platform, they have something sturdy to step off from to go into their dive to make a 10, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, it's the same way with faith. Faith is oftentimes a stepping out or a diving out or a jumping out into the unknown at times. Faith at times is stepping into a realm of belief when there's no money. Faith, and remember what faith truly is a complete persuasion, complete being sold out that there's money when there's no money, right? That there's healing when there's no healing, right? Naturally. And so to be able to, and that's the realm we receive from, isn't it?
Yeah.
To step from the realm of doubt and unbelief where okay, I don't have any money. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? To stepping out into, I am still in the position I was just in before, but I'm convinced money is coming to me and I'm okay.
Amen.
To be able to do that, or do that with healing, or do that with your job situation or your family situation, to be able to step out and to get a perfect 10 in life, you are going to first have to have a solid and sturdy platform to step out from, because without the sturdy and solid platform to step out from, it's going to hinder you going forward, just like it will hinder them if that was wobbly or slippery.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was slippery. They'd be going like this, and then they'd try and see, they have to get fully calm right before they do it so they can jump and immediately go into their routine. Well, if you don't have a firm platform when it comes to faith, going forward, you're going to be uncertain. Well, what is that firm platform? That firm platform is knowing the will of God. Because when you step out into the abyss, so to speak, from doubt and unbelief of anything, into that, out on that edge of that limb, or out into that realm of believing God for money when there's no money, believing God for healing when there's no healing, you are going to never be sturdy, never complete the routine that you need to, never be solid and get a perfect 10 and score and hit the victory if you are unsure of what God has said you can have. Why? Because everything we need and want that we step out going for comes from Him. If He doesn't back it, what kind of assurance can we have going forward?
Yeah, right.
Well, the backing that we need to leap out and be assured is the will of God. The will of God is the firm platform and foundation that we can stand on and say, we know that we know what God's will is. Therefore, we can jump from this place of doubt and unbelief into a place of believing God when that the natural doesn't even look like it's even lining up with anything He said. But without knowing that, right, it's an unsteady platform. Well, I want to jump out in healing, but how are you going to fully jump out in healing when you know that God is the one that has the healing, but yet you're unsure that God even wants you to be healed? That you're unsure that God even wants you to be blessed? How can you jump out in full assurance when you know it's coming from Him? It'd be like Caleb saying, oh, I'm so excited to drink this Pepsi today, Dad. We don't give our children pop. If you do, do whatever you want. We just don't. They've had a few sips here and there. But it'd be like him saying, oh, yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to get have some pop and walk around strutting all day thinking he's going to have pop at his lunch. He would have no assurance or confidence with that because he doesn't know if mom or dad, that's not been mom and dad's history. That's not been mom and dad, MO going forward. Well, it's the same way with people. They try to leap off of a platform of uncertainty, and then they get out in that abyss, that edge of that limb, and they, well, I'm not even 100%. See, you have to, it's like somebody that is going to be building a building or maybe a person that's doing a drilling project, and they got backing from investors. Well, when you know you have the backing of the investors, you spend the money, right? But if you don't go out and do huge projects and stuff, not knowing if you have the money to do it. And people are jumping out not having a clue what's backing them. You got to know. You got to know. Faith is a stepping out. We need to step out from, and the Bible says, be not unwise. Why is it unwise? Because you won't be able to be in true faith until you get into wisdom, which is knowing what the will of God is, right? Because sometimes you step out so far on the edge of a limb. You know how you get out on an edge of the limb and that thing's really, that the only thing, and situations sometimes get so pressing and so hard that the only way out is God. I've been there financially. I've been there physically. I've been there in circumstances where it was told no, that the only thing that's going to pull you out, ain't no raise going to pull you out. Ain't no Holy Ghost handshake going to pull you out. Ain't no pill going to pull you out. Ain't no therapy going to pull you out. The only thing that's going to pull you out is God. Well, if that's the case, how can you, and you need faith to get that, how are you going to have the full assurance in such desperation if you don't even know what his thought is on it? Faith is the word is the platform. The will of God is the platform. Praise God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith cannot start until the will of God is known. Once I know what God's will is, see, God's will, it's kind of like a regular will, right? Let's say somebody passes away in your life and they left a will and you know that you're in it. Well, you can't be, let's say you're assuming they're rich and you're assuming they left you a lot of money. Well, I'd be very careful to go out and start charging up my credit card and buying all sorts of things till I find out what the will is. But if I see the will and it says, Mike Anderson, you got $1 million coming to you, let's go have some fun and let's go start charging things and let's stand at the register and not be afraid, not be worried because you got something backing you. But if you don't know, right, and you go, well, I think I'm in the will, I'm going to max this credit card. Oh, I'll tell you, you're going to be sweating a little bit at the register. Those purchases aren't going to be as fun driving home. But absolutely. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Hallelujah. If you don't know the will of God, you don't have anything to step out from. I mean, look at think about this way. Not to beat a dead horse, but I'm going to get this home to you. How much confidence would you have if you said, man, I'm really thirsty. Well, here you go. And I give you just a plain bottle. You can't see the contents. And you can't get the top off of it. This is my world, okay? Just play along. That's the world we're living in right now. And I give you that content. And I say, yeah, here, drink that. Well, what is it? I'm not sure. Shake it. It's liquid. It might be oil. It might be water. It might be pop. It might be acid. I don't know. How much confidence are you going to have in drinking that if you don't know? It's the same with faith. When you don't know, your confidence or your faith goes out the window. You got to know what the will of God is. It changes everything. Hallelujah. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Hallelujah. Got to know what the will of God is. That's where it starts. 1 John chapter 5. And it tells us the same thing here. Verse 14. This is the confidence. Well, isn't faith confidence?
Yes, right.
See, faith is a full persuasion, a full believing that whatever God has said, he's going to do it.
Amen.
Well, this is the confidence that we have in who? Him. He's our source, isn't he?
Right.
He's the one that puts the beverage in the cup for us.
Yeah.
See, especially Abby, not so much Caleb anymore, getting older, but especially Abby. See, we can't bring our healing to ourselves. There's natural things we can do that can help, absolutely. But there's times we can't, don't matter what you're doing naturally. Don't matter how good you're eating, how much you exercise. Same thing financially. We can do some things naturally to help us, but there are times where the only thing that's going to help you is God, right? Well, that's kind of the position Abby's in when it comes to drinking anything. She's too little. She can hardly pull the fridge open. And when she does, she yanks out so hard the thing goes flying, smacks, and comes back and almost knocks her out, right? It's just, she can hardly do that. So the only way she's going to get anything is if we put it in there, right? So our confidence is always in Him, because He's the one that brings it to pass. He's the one that provides it. That if we ask anything, now there it is again, according to His will. Well, you can't ask according to His will if you don't know what His will is. Be not unwise, but be wise how? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Anything according to His will, He hears us. Verse 15. And if we know that He hears us, which, well, how do we get Him to hear us? Ask Him according to His will. You want God's ear? Ask Him according to His will. If we know He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desire of Him. Well, knowing that you have something that you desire from Him, because why are you asking Him for something? It might not always be this case, or believing Him for something might not always be this case, but there are times you're asking from a situation naturally of desperation. And to be able to step out from desperation onto into faith, where is a full assurance, right? To know that we would have it when we ask would change everything. To know that when I release my faith for money and I step out onto that, knowing it's coming, then the bills piled high, the wage not meeting what the bills are going out, won't bother you and won't fluster you and frustrate you anymore. See, Abraham was so sold out, eventually he got there. It took a while, but he got there. To that, it's what God has said. Remember, he said he considered not his own body. Well, stepping out into faith, there has to be a non-consideration of the natural. To be a faith giant, you're going to have to get into a place where you're not considering what the natural is telling you. That the natural might be completely telling you you're broke. You'll never get healed. It'll never change. But a faith giant doesn't consider that in the equation of whether or not it'll come to pass. A faith giant considers only what God has said. Abraham finally got to the place where it doesn't matter what my age is, how many birthday candles they're putting on there every year. It doesn't matter how many new wrinkles I have. Doesn't matter how much my body's slowing down. Doesn't matter what the neighbors are saying. Doesn't matter what friends and family are saying. Doesn't matter what Dr. Oz is saying. Doesn't matter what the health community is saying. Doesn't matter what Wikipedia and Google and all these things are saying. The only thing that matters is what does God say about the situation. Well, if we know His will and we ask according to His will, that's as good as the answer. That's a guaranteed yes. So if you, that's why I'm talking about that platform. When you go from that platform of knowing what the will of God is and you step out in that unknown, the natural that's trying to pull you back into the natural and scare you and get you into doubt and unbelief won't matter, because you're so focused on the answer is yes because God has said it, because I know I've asked according to His will, and that completely translates into a yes. Hallelujah. But there you can see why there'd be lack of confidence. Or where doubt and unbelief could creep back in when somebody's not completely sold out to the fact that God says yes. That God says yes. My son is so convinced that when daddy says we're doing something, I mean, take it to the bank, right? And I'll tell you what, it's been a tough time when things have happened and plans have changed. But dad, you said, why? He takes me that much at my word. He knows that when we speak, and I don't go around intentionally trying to, but for example, I told him today, like today, we're going to go swimming today. Well, some things came up beyond my control that we couldn't go swimming. But to him, it's like, wait a second. And that's the way it should be, right? He's so convinced. But see, God, plans never change for God. God never can change His mind. God never is different. And so when we know what He said, that's why when Caleb says something, he doesn't have to wonder, is Dad telling the truth? Are we really going to swim this summer? Are we really going to go do that? Dad said it. That's all that matters. Amen. It's being sold out to that platform, right? Hallelujah. So then, go with me to Romans 10. So that confidence, that faith, that stepping out, that platform, how does that come? Well, we know how. Romans 10, 17. So then faith. What is faith? It's your straw. Remember, faith is your straw. You need to hook the straw up to what God has said and start for yourself. Be like me. Oh, I don't know about you, but I love root beer floats. Love them. I mean, what's better, pop and ice cream? I mean, come on. That's pretty good. That's like a combo from heaven. I'm thinking at the feast, the marriage feast, marriage supper of the Lamb, that's got to be the beverage. Root beer floats, and you're allowed to eat as much as you want of it and drink as much as you want it, and you never get full. You'll even be able to have them, buddy, at dinner. We'll even let you have them there. Right? But you have to understand, faith is the straw. I can give you a root beer float, but don't expect me to drink it for you and you get the benefits. If I drink it, I'm going to get the benefits. Well, nobody's going to hook up. If I could, I'd hook my straw up. I'd somehow get it to you. It'd be gross, but I'd get it to you. But I can't do that. That's not how it works. Your straw brings it to you. Well, faith then, faith. What is faith? Faith is the straw. Faith is the straw that gets the contents out of the God cup. Faith sucks up the healing. It sucks up the prosperity. It sucks up the favor, the promotions, whatever you need. So then faith is what we need. We need that straw. Be like, here, buddy, here's a cup with a lid on it. But Dad, where's the straw? It'd be unjust of God. See, thank God he gave us a straw. Thank God for faith. Sometimes people look at faith as being a drudge. It's kind of like the people that look at Jesus and say, well, that Christianity sure is closed-minded. There's only one way. I see. My God, that's mercy. He made a way. Oh, we got to use faith. Faith. I mean, but I thought, that's merciful. He gave us a straw. It's just how you look at it. Jesus isn't closed-minded. It's not a just an all-inclusive religion in the sense that, well, my goodness, just shut everybody out. No, there was no way until Jesus was there. There was no way to get God's blessings till he gave you faith. Faith is not something we should be down about, we should be discouraged about. We should be thankful for it, that we could use, that we get to use it. Hallelujah. So then faith, that straw, comes by hearing, and hearing the what? Word of God. Why? Because the more you hear the word, the more you know God's will. The more you know God's will, the stronger your platform gets, the more steady your platform gets to be able to jump out into what you need, knowing I have a foundation under me that is solid as a rock. Glory to God. Faith comes by hearing. Now, this is kind of silly, but I just wrote this down as it came to me today, and it is kind of goofy, but it came to me, and I'm just going to share it because it helped me. And if it helped me, I'm hoping it'll help you. But you could say it this way. The more that you hear the word, right, the more faith that you're going to get. Well, what is faith? Faith is spiritual strength, right? Spiritually, the more you consume the word of God, the bigger your faith muscles are going to get, right? Faith is a spiritual, it's like your spiritual muscles, and then the word is kind of like the steroids, the creatine, the whatever they're putting in bodies now. I don't know if that's even, back when I did it, there was this white powder called creatine. It was gross. I couldn't hardly get the stuff down. But anyway, I don't know. And so that's what the word is. The more word, the bigger and stronger you get spiritually with your faith. Well, what does your faith do? We know Mark 11, 23, faith moves mountains. Well, some mountains are bigger than other mountains. Some mountains are heavier. Some mountains require more heavy lifting, right? So then the more word, so faith then comes by hearing. How much faith? You can have as much faith as you want. The more word you hear on a subject, the more faith. Remember the time I was going through some severe condemnation, slipped back into depression to the thought of even having consuming thoughts of taking my own life? I knew this wasn't the will of God. I knew God had more for me. Well, the only way I broke that off me, that was a stronghold on my life. Well, if someone that's big and strong is holding you, the only way you're going to break through that is if you're bigger and stronger than that person. You know, naturally, Vinny puts a bear hug on me, and I'm out for the count until he lets go. Truthfully, right? And for a lot of people, right? You can take him still. Not to this point. But you understand what I mean? For me to break free from Vinny, I'd have to be bigger and stronger. Well, it's the same thing. The devil puts a stronghold, gets you in a stronghold. Well, I was weak and small, and so he's got me. Well, the way I get stronger and bigger is consuming more Word. So I started consuming what the Word said about me, what God said about my life going forward, the plan He still had. And I started to grow, spiritually, get bigger, bigger, and bigger, and bam, busted off that thing. Right? That's what, same with healing. Maybe you're convinced in your mind you'll never get healed of that because that's what the doctors say, that's what statistics say, that's what the internet says. Well, that's a stronghold on you. Well, maybe you're convinced you'll never be financially free, that you're always living paycheck to paycheck, that no matter what, you're just going to struggle and never enjoy. There's things you'd like to do. That's a stronghold. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to have to consume more Word financially and get stronger and stronger and stronger and bust that thing off you till you're just eat, sleep, drinking, and breathing prosperity when you can't even pay your bills. But that's all you're thinking. You're dreaming about dollar signs. It's not the sheep jumping over the fence. It's the dollar signs jumping over the fence. Hallelujah. It's true. That's what you got to do. And so the more faith you consume, or Word you consume, the bigger and stronger you get. This came to me today. The more you know, the more you grow. Right? The more you grow, the more you'll be able to go. God will be able to use you more, stronger you are. The more you grow, now remember, strongholds, things attached to you, the more you grow, the more you'll be able to throw. Sometimes we got to throw things off us, right? I know this is how things work in my life. These little things come to me. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. The more you grow, the more you'll be able to sow. Faith giants sow bigger seeds, which lead to bigger harvests. Why don't a lot of people do what they're supposed to do financially? Their faith is small. They don't believe that what God has said in the Word will come to pass, and so therefore they're in fear financially. The more you grow, the more you'll sow. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
You ready for one more? The more you grow, the more you'll be able to mow. Sometimes the bigger mower can mow more things, right? Sometimes you got to mow down things in your life. Sometimes things are standing in your way, right? You might have a patch in your grass of dandelions growing, and it might be an eyesore or whatever, or a patch of weeds. I'll tell you what, you get a big old lawn tractor on there, you look at that thing, that ain't a problem. You're big, and you can take it, zoom right over that thing, look back, it's gone.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah.
The more you consume the Word, the bigger your faith will get. The bigger your faith will get, the more you're going to be able to do in the natural realm and be a bigger giant. But it all starts, faith starts where the will of God is known. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. It was worth coming tonight, right? Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper. What was a leper? Someone with an incurable natural disease. Medicine, therapy, sleep, rest, eating right, didn't matter. It was incurable. There came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing. Well, what does the Bible say? Be not unwise. Find out what the will of the Lord is. Why? Once you find out what the will of the Lord is, the Bible promises you that if you ask according to that will, you have what you're asking for. So his problem was he was unwise in terms of what the will of the Lord was. Lord, are you willing? If you're willing, You can heal me. I'll be clean. Right? And Jesus put forth his hand. Now remember, the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. So when Jesus says anything, it's the Word of God. Right? Well, be not unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Whatever Jesus said is the will of God. So what does Jesus say? Remember, his problem is, I don't know if you're willing. Right? I don't know if you're willing. Well, we see Jesus encounter people, that Jesus had to work on their faith before he could get them something. So Jesus had to work on this man's faith. Well, how did he work on this man's faith? He told him what the will of God was. He gave the man a platform, a foundation, a steady one. He said, I will. Well, as soon as Jesus says, I will, a platform slides under this guy. Now the only question the man had was not if Jesus can, but now I know he can, but now I also know he wants to. So therefore, I'm going to jump out and believe this. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. But notice, he didn't get his healing until his thinking was made straight. Go to Romans 14, or Acts chapter 14, Acts 14 and verse 7. Acts 14 and verse 7. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of being broke. Well, then start getting faith. But faith is always going to start by knowing God's will. That's where you got to start. Acts 14 and verse 7, it says, "And there they preached the gospel." Well, what is the gospel? It's not just, I preach the gospel every week here. But I don't just stand up and tell you every week, Jesus, you know, tell you the salvation story. We have a little part at the end of service for that. Why? Because the gospel's more than just the cross.
Amen.
The gospel goes into righteousness,
right,
authority of the believer, what Jesus purchased for us.
Amen.
So the gospel is everything the word encompasses, not just salvation, dying on the cross, except that you don't go to hell, you go to heaven. It's everything. So when it preached the gospel, we don't know exactly what Paul preached, but we do know what Paul preached by what happened. It says, "And there sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak." What was Paul preaching? The gospel. He heard Paul preach the gospel. Now, what does the Bible tell us in Romans 10? Faith cometh, how? By hearing the word of God. Well, what was happening to this guy? He was hearing the word of God. So what was happening? Faith was coming. It's a spiritual law. You want more faith, get more word.
Hallelujah.
"The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him." Now notice this. Paul steadfastly beholding him. Notice this. Paul perceiving that this man had faith to be healed.
Yeah.
Do you see that, ladies and gentlemen? Sometimes this whole idea of religion and God just doing it for us, evidently, Paul had to see that this gentleman, for him to be healed, there has to be something else present, which was his faith. And Paul said, "Ooh, I see it. He's got faith to be healed." You're going to need faith to get out of that money problem. You're going to need faith to get out of that physical problem. You're going to need faith to get out of that situation mentally and emotionally. It's going to take faith. That's the straw.
Hallelujah.
To get what God... Notice God doesn't just shower the stuff. He provides it and then says, "Hook your faith up and suck it out." Hallelujah. It's available, but suck it out. "The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding, perceiving that he had faith to be healed." Well, what evidently then can we assume that Paul was preaching about on this day? Healing. Healing, right? The guy needed healing, and that's why I always tell people, if you need healing, get in the word on healing. If you need money, get in the word on money, right? Whatever you need, get in the word. When I was going through condemnation, I wasn't spending a whole lot of time on financial scriptures, right? I mean, you'd still touch those things, but I'll tell you what, it's kind of like, you know, somebody has a wound or something. Well, you hone in on that wound and you tend that wound to what that wound needs. You know, if I have a headache, right, I'm not rubbing Vicks, that vapor rub on my head to get rid of that. I don't know if that would work or not, but what am I doing? I'm honing in on the problem, going for the specific problem, right? Hallelujah. Same with healing here. Evidently, he needed faith to be healed, right? That's what Paul said. I see his faith for him to be healed. He's got to have faith. I perceive he's got that. Well, Paul must have been sitting there preaching on healing. Hey, Jesus died. Not only did he die for your sins, but he died for your healing. By his stripes, you are healed. Hallelujah. God's a healer. The guy's hearing this. Wow. Wow. Faith is rising up. He's growing. He's getting stronger. Praise God. And he said, verse 10, with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leapt and he walked. But how did it come? Through faith. Through faith. Faith can bring you anything that you need. Faith can bring you anything that you desire. Glory to God.
God.
I think about our situation, and I've talked about it a lot, and I hope that when I do that it brings faith. But I've not encountered a whole lot of people in my life. Not bragging. I'm just, this, a lot of it was because of dumb things I did when I was younger and paying for them now. I've not encountered a lot of people that experience being $2,000 short every single month of paying their bills. I get a lot of people coming to me and are flipping out over $100, $150. I said, "Oh, Lord Jesus, that's easy. We'll get you the $150. Don't worry. We'll get it to you." And not to belittle where people are, I'm just saying I've hardly had people that I've encountered be that dire financially, where it wasn't that you just didn't have any money. It's one thing if you don't have money but don't have bills, but when you don't have money and you have bills and debts to pay. That's when there's an issue. Well, we were 2,000. There were some months it was more than 2,000. It was at least 1,200 every month. That was bills coming in, but that didn't include food for Caleb, didn't include gas, didn't include groceries, didn't include any miscellaneous things that would come up on a vehicle. All, you know how life happens, right? That was just bills. $2,000 short every month. Didn't have the money. Well, what did I do? I spent time finding out my God's Jehovah Jireh. He's the God who provides. Spending time in Philippians 4:19. I mean, I dissected that verse up, down, left, right, turned that thing over, flipped it upside down, meditated on that verse, paced my floor for hours just with that verse, putting it in me. My God, you're my God, Father. If you're not anybody else's God, you're at least my God. Shall, it's part of your will. You will. It's your desire. Supply. Oh, Lord, you have a supply. And your supply doesn't run dry. Your supply is over. And that's what I would do. I just paced the floor. Why? Because I had a heavyweight trial. You'll supply all. Oh, Lord, all. Every bill we have. Every debt we have. You said you'd supply it all. My needs. And now it's according to what? It's not even according to what I have. That's good because I don't have anything. It's according to what you have. And I would dissect it. I'd pace the floor in the dark. And I just put that in my heart. Put that in my heart. What was I doing? Growing and growing and growing. So much so that I'd hold him and feed him. And I'd boldly declare. And at times I'd say this, devil and all you demons, I want you to hear this loud and clear. And I'd say, Father, I thank you that you meet and supply every single one of our needs. I thank you every single bill is paid on time, all the time, every single time. I thank you we lack nothing but are in abundance. Father, I thank you for promotions. I thank you for a salary. I thank you for divine ideas. I thank you for supernatural debt payoff. I thank you we'll never miss a payment. And we never did. We never did. And I'll tell you what, once I got into that flow, at first, you know the story. I was a doubter and unbeliever. I sat there at the Mexican restaurant begging with puppy dog eyes, Pastor Michael, please give me a salary. I did. Pastor, I have a baby on the way. I'm starting a church. Give me a salary. I'll pay you back later. I was pulling out all the stops, trying to tug on his emotions. Oh, faith giant Pastor Mike is. I wasn't. You know, I'll tell you what, things changed when she got pregnant. I'll tell you what, I got a lot less selfish in life. I was, oh boy, there's someone that depends on me now. And so I was pulling out all the stops, going for it, going for the gusto with him. And he called me up after service one Sunday morning. I was sitting on the front row, pointed to a scripture and walked away. And I looked and it said, Jesus talked to the disciples. He said, when I sent you out with nothing. I looked at him as he just kept walking. Where are you going? That's not. It can't be the verse you wanted me to see. But it was. So I was nervous and worried. But I'll tell you what got me into that flow from doubt and unbelieving was the word. I said, okay, we're either going to sink or swim. He told me. He said, if I give you a salary, it's going to ruin you. So he's basically chucked me in the water, and I'm so thankful he did, and said, now swim to the shore. And when you get to the shore, you're going to know how to swim. And you're going to be able to teach others how to swim. Faith does not allow itself to sink. Faith will do whatever it takes to get the job done. And so I did. I said, okay, fine. I'll get a third shift job. It was half out of fear, but half out of I need to provide. And the Holy Ghost shot that down and said, oh yeah, when are you going to pray? When are you going to read your Bible? When are you going to study? When are you going to meet with people? Because I was staying home with him. God already told me to stay home with him and for her to keep her job. And then when she got home is when I do church stuff. Well, I got to sleep sometime. Right? Can't violate that law. And so how did I get from doubt and unbelief and from begging for a salary? And I was in my, as honorably and as with much etiquette as I could, I was begging for a salary. Trying to weigh on his emotions and tug at his heartstrings and things like that. How did I go from there to rocking my child at night, not having a lick of money anywhere, bills topped to the ceiling, knowing they're coming in, being $2,000 short with deadlines, to confidently rejoicing in a chair in the dark at 3 a.m. while I'm feeding him, praising God, being excited, all because of the Word of God. I shoved it in me so much, I got so strong spiritually that way. Hallelujah. And I was unwavering at that point. If the money wouldn't have came, I'd have gone right to heaven and called him a liar right to his face, but I would never have to do that because he's not a liar.
That's right. Amen.
Right? Yeah, I was so confident of stepping out onto what God has said. Praise His name. And we're, let me just finish this up here with just a couple things naturally that will help you. Because there are things in the Word that we can believe for. Healing, prosperity. But there are things that we don't have scriptures on. Right? There are things that we don't have scriptures on. Like, it's God's will to meet your needs for a vehicle. But it's important to get the right vehicle. Right? God knows what a vehicle's been through, especially if you're buying a used one, right? It's important to get the right one. Well, don't you think the Spirit of God could lead you to the right vehicle? It's not going to be a lemon and cause you problems? Absolutely He can. Well, what about the it's a will that you have a home, but you want to make sure you get the right home, right? Well, it's the will of God that you can get married, but you better get the right one. Right? Let's even take it a step further. If you're fully sold off to God, even timing matters. It's the will of God. You can have a child. Absolutely, it's the will of God. But you better do it when it's the right time. Absolutely. If you're sold out to God, praise God. And so, well, what about these things then? Because sometimes people need faith for a car. Sometimes people need faith for a home and for a baby and for a spouse. Well, you got to wait for a word from God. You got to get a word from God, right? I can know that God has a house for me, a vehicle for me, a spouse for me, or whatever for me, but I have to know what God has said about a specific one. Well, the way we know that is either He speaks to your heart or you get peace, right? That's how you know God's voice. I'll just use this for example for us when it came to both of our children. We were Spirit-led on when to have it, and I'll tell you what, it didn't take us long. And I'm not saying that this would be the case for every single person here, but I'll tell you what, if it's the will of God and God tells you and you do it when God, it shouldn't have to take a whole long time, right? Understand what I mean? We waited. We were going to have a baby, and we had it in our heart not to. We had it not in our heart not to for a while. Well, then we had a release. And when we had the release, instantly pregnant. Instantly pregnant. Both times. One of the times was a supernatural time of, this is the time, have a child. Absolutely, without getting into too much here. We'll be fielding questions the whole way home tonight. Don't need that to happen. Holy cow. It's the same with a home. Same with a home, right? Now, understand this, if you're believing God, because I want to make sure that we're staying in the road here. If you're believing God for a baby, if someone's listening by live stream, you know, I don't know who everybody listens, but you're believing God for a baby, and you have a green light in your heart to have a baby, but it's taking time, just stay with it. Because the devil was still going to try to hinder some things, but what I'm saying is you'll be way more successful if you're doing it when God gives you the green light and says, yes, have a child. And then if there is hindrance, you just plow right through that hindrance saying, oh, no, this is my time. You understand what I mean by that? I'm not saying that it just so happened to be we weren't hindered in that area at all. We did it when God said to do it, and to have a child, that go forth, and we did. But there are times that God can say you can have something, but yet the devil will hinder it. Well, if you know it's God's timing, just go forward with that. You'll get it. You'll get it, amen? But you'll have way more confidence in faith knowing, my Father said this is the right time for us. Hallelujah. But anyways, with that being said, we looked for 26 months for a home. 26 months. Well, it was always the will of God for us to have a house. But see, once I found the one where that God said, this is the one. Now, for me, it was more of I stepped in the house and I heard in my spirit, this is your house. Well, you don't need a word like that. You just need peace. Yeah. Same with a car. You go to a car lot. There's lots of cars, right? There's lots of cars. Even a brand new car can, I've heard cases they can give you trouble, right? It's more rare. But, you know, if you're buying a used car, especially, there's lots of cars to pick from. You certainly don't want to go just by the color. You certainly don't want to go just because it's pretty, right? Now, you might, you can, with God's will, you can find one that's the right color and that's pretty, but there can be a pretty one that has the right color and can look good, but have a whole lot of problems with it. Well, how do you go through that? You find out what God has said, right? He said, I can have a house. Well, you can't just... And especially when something is out of your means naturally, which a lot of times faith grasps things that are out of our means naturally. Yeah. That house was way out of our means financially. We didn't have it. But see, and I can't just pull into that driveway not having the money in my account. Now, this is important that you understand this. This is the balance of faith. I can't pull in a driveway of a home that catches my eye, that has a for sale sign, and especially if it doesn't have a for sale sign, don't be going around claiming other people's homes. mean, I'm telling you, you hear crazy stories. Someone's walking down the street and they see a girl, it's pretty. I claim her as my wife. Says who?
Right. Yeah.
Now, if God speaks to you and she's walking down and says, just so you know, that's your future wife. Well, then you can start putting faith on that.
Sure.
I can't pull into a house with a for sale sign. Well, I really like that house. Don't look it up online. Oh, I don't have the money to pay for that, but I sure like it. In Jesus' name, that's mine.
Yeah.
I have people come to me all the time. Pastor, hook up with me in prayer. Pastor, I'm really excited. I'm believing God for this job. Did God even tell you that's the job for you? Did God even tell you that's the home for you? Oh, Pastor, I'm believing. See, people get something in their mind and excited, haven't even taken time to find out. Yeah, God has a spouse for you. Yes, God has a job for you. Yes, God has a vehicle for you. Yes, God has a home for you. But is it the one God has for you? A lot of times people will say that to me, Pastor, I'm just so excited for this job. Did God give you a green light for this job? Or are you believing in vain? Right? Because we only are guaranteed what he says we can have. That's the balance to faith. So I get a word from heaven, this is your house. Well, okay. Just like God told them, the promised land is yours. But we see the promised land didn't fall into their lap. Just like healing doesn't fall into your lap. The spoken word in your heart is same as the spoken word on the page. It's still the word of God. The word, this land is yours, didn't fall into their lap either. Just like that house did not fall into my lap. Now, okay, I know God's will. Yes, he has a house for me. Now I know a specific house. Now I'm going to use my faith to suck it right to me. Yeah, praise God. It's in the cup, just swirling around, just waiting for it to come out. Well, how am I going to do that? I'm going to hook my straw up and get it out. But the only way I can do that is because he first put it in the cup.
Right.
Yeah. So when there's not things in the word, you got to find out when it comes to a job. Yes, God has a job for you, but you got to find out what job is it. People derail their lives all the time doing things their own way. Well, God said to work. Yeah, he said to work, but he also said follow the Holy Ghost. Well, God said I could have a spouse. Yeah, he did, but he also said follow the Holy Ghost. Well, God said I could have a baby. Yeah, he did, but find out, is it the right time? Right? See, we don't see a lot of things that God sees a lot of times in heaven. I'm so thankful for the time. I'll just use this way. There's a couple in the Jamestown church that's been believing God for a baby, and they got their mind renewed to the word, and they said, we know it's the will of God, and we know when it is the right time, we will have this baby. And they're right. Absolutely. And what they'll see when they get to that manifestation, which we've seen a lot of times in our life, is that thank God it didn't come when we thought we needed it. I'm so thankful that we didn't find a house in the 12 months because there were certain houses that we almost did it our own way. Thank God that we waited for God to say, this is the one, now put your faith on it. But see, a lot of times people don't want to wait to hear the word of God. They don't want to seek him. They don't want to spend time in his presence hearing from him. They just rush out and get a vehicle. They just rush out because they can naturally do it themselves. Well, what if God is secretly trying to tell you, you can have a car that's way more money than you can even afford? And you think, well, how can I do that? Because that's what faith can do for you. Sometimes, well, I want a house. Well, some people just rush out and get a house that they can naturally pay for because they don't have to use any faith, when maybe, like in our situation, God was trying to increase you. How? By making you stretch your faith, which will bring you something that naturally you could have never had. But because we got a word on it, we can have it. Yeah, absolutely. You got to find out what the word. Now, God's will might be on something that you just can afford and don't have to use your faith. Right? The baby thing for us was we didn't have to use our faith really that much. We'd sown before in the faith realm. We said we'll have a child at the right time. We'll have a baby. It'll be quick. Fertile myrtle here. That's what we just kept saying. That's what we would just say. Oh, is that too much information? I don't know. But that's just what I'd say, right? And that's what we should name that little pool toy, that little turtle we got, Fertile Myrtle. Fertile Myrtle the pool turtle. Yeah, that's what we're going to name from now on. Glory to God. And we had used our faith in that realm. But see, sometimes you might not have, if God says you can have a vehicle, you might just go to the lot and you have a green light on a car. Well, you have all the money. But there are times that God will increase you. And the way that he's going to increase you no more is by getting you to stretch a little bit And see, you can only stretch in confidence when you know he's backing it. Like I said, I can't have confidence for that house that we can never afford naturally unless he said it. Because if he says it, the money has to come from somewhere. Amen? Amen? Well, were you blessed tonight? Amen. Get in the Word. Grow yourself. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We glorify you. We magnify you. We thank you, Jesus, for everything you've given, for everything you've done. You are wonderful. You are mighty. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. It strengthens us. It helps us grow. We're so grateful. We're so thankful. So grateful and so thankful, Father God, for all that you've done, all that you've provided. Father, your answer is yes to everything. You just need us to cooperate. Well, Father, the way we can cooperate is by where faith starts, starting at the starting line of faith, which is knowing your will. So, Father, if we're struggling with anything in here tonight, whether it's divine healing, whether it's prosperity, I don't mean struggling that we're in that faith battle where we're pressing in the patience. I mean struggling to even believe that healing can be ours or prosperity can be ours or any of those things that we need or desire can be ours. We're going to find out what your will is, Father. We're going to find out what your will is. And then we're going to jump off from that platform. And Father, we're going to have a perfect dive and get a score of 10 in life. We love you tonight. We glorify you. Now, if you're listening by live stream now or in the future, and you've never received Jesus, the best thing God ever provided for you that your faith can bring your way is salvation. The Bible says that if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, you are a candidate. You are qualified for salvation. The Bible says that if you ask him into your heart, he'll gladly and freely come in. So if you're here listening, or if you're listening, I should say now or in the future, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, but you want to, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to jump through religious hoops. If you believe in Jesus, that's enough. All you do is say, Lord, I do believe you died and rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. If you do that, let us know. Give us an email. Give me a phone call. We'll get you hooked up in a good church where you can be taught all the wonderful things that God has for you, and your faith can grow. And when you grow, things will happen for you in the natural that could have never happened before, that only faith could bring your way. Father, we glorify you. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. Thank you for it. And as I said that last words, it came up in my spirit that faith is the only thing, the only avenue that can get you certain things in your life. There's, I guess I'll say it this way, with heads bowed and eyes closed still. There's certain things in your life that you need, that you want, that you desire. The only way they're going to come your way is through faith. Faith will make the way. Faith is the avenue. So lay that line, lay that straw for God. How do you lay that straw? By getting in his word, meditating on his word. Find out what the Spirit of God has said about your life. If you don't have a scripture on it, find out what the Spirit of God says about it. Talk to him about it. Lay that line and then start to bring those things and hold on to that until it comes to pass. Father, we thank you for the force of faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close right there tonight. Y'all have a wonderful rest of your week. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. You're dismissed.